I'd like to bring you a message this morning that I would entitle Paul's Glory. Paul's Glory. Let me begin by saying, though, this morning, a little bit something about myself. I've been pastoring here. Next month will be 2 years since the church called me to be its pastor. And I don't know if I've ever shared this about myself or not, but I very much dislike arrogant people. It's just a little tidbit about Nathan Meeks. I very much dislike people that like to boast about themselves. People like to brag upon their achievements and their accomplishments and give no thought or credit to how the Lord has blessed them thus far in their life. That's just something that rubs me the wrong way, is to be in a conversation with somebody like that. Maybe you've been in a conversation like that as well with somebody. They're just going on and on about how great they are and what wonderful things they've done, and yet they give no thought or credit to the Lord of glory. So certainly that's something that I don't enjoy being around. This last week I had the experience of speaking to someone and in their telling me about their career and how they have this clientele that's pretty well-to-do and so forth. They were putting down the idea of a person being a homemaker. Now, I don't intend to speak on homemakers this morning, but I'm just using that as an example of somebody that just thought they were pretty tough stuff. You know, they're saying, well, I'm a very well-to-do school counselor. I talk to doctors' children, and sometimes their parents are double doctors. The mother and father are doctors, and the grandparents are doctors. And, you know, just going on and on about how she had really arrived in her life and was well settled on this path to a great career. And rather than take the opportunity to think about a homemaker and the high calling that a homemaker has, she rather kind of snubbed her nose at that and said that a homemaker could not be considered her peer in this life. Well, I want to say this morning, again, I don't intend to make this the theme of my message. The message is Paul's glory. But let me rest this matter this morning that a homemaker is a very high calling to a woman. The Bible does not call women to careers outside of home. There is nothing wrong with having a career outside of the home. But a woman that becomes a wife and certainly becomes a mother, her biggest priority is to be her home and her family. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1 that a wise woman buildeth her home. And Paul would write to Timothy and to Titus and tell them how that women should be keepers at home. That's not that their place is to always be in the home, but what that means is that their highest priority in their life should be the domestic affairs of their family. That is their greatest ministry. That is their highest calling in this life. And so it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way when somebody had that opinion of homemakers. I just use that as an example this morning of somebody that was very arrogant and boastful and braggadocious about themselves and all the things that they have accomplished. But you know, it's human nature to brag and to boast, isn't it? It's human nature to really think well about ourselves. If you look to Judges chapter 7, you'll find there the account of Gideon. And the Lord has called Gideon that through the might of the Lord he would deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he's telling Gideon to assemble himself an army. And in Judges chapter 7 and verse 2, you'll find there where God tells Gideon, you've got too many in your army. You don't need to go forward with this many. And he says, you need to get rid of some of these guys. And why is he telling Gideon that? Because he says, I don't want Israel to vaunt. I don't want them to boast in themselves and say that we by our own strength have delivered ourselves from the Midianites. So God's just cutting the head off, saying, I don't want human nature and human thinking to run its course and exclude me from the matter and say God didn't have anything to do with it, but it was us that delivered ourselves from the Midianites. It's just human nature. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 that by grace we're saved and not of works. And why is that? Lest any man should boast. Man loves to boast, and he would boast every single opportunity that he had. And so we find again that that's just part of human nature. And I want to say this morning too that when I say I dislike those that have sometimes an arrogant attitude and those that are boastful and glorying in themselves, I want you to understand I'm talking about myself sometimes too. Sometimes I'm in that position. Sometimes I begin to go down a path where it just seems like I'm talking very well about myself and excluding how the Lord has blessed me. Sometimes, what's the old saying? You gotta be careful because when you point the finger, you've got several pointing back at you. Well, that's the way I am. I have to be careful in my life as well. Sometimes when I think I've done a pretty good job and the praise of man starts to come down the pike, I just start to kind of pat myself on the back and say, boy, Nathan, you really outdid yourself this time. So we have to guard against that in our lives. We have to guard against any boasting in ourselves. In fact, Paul said in Galatians, he said that we should not be desirous of vainglory. That is, that we shouldn't be desirous of putting ourselves up and have men likewise put us up on a pedestal. Don't be acting in this life and doing certain things for the applause of man. That's not our motive. It shouldn't be our motive in this life. And so Paul says to watch out. Don't be desirous. Don't even have that as your goal, that you would be gloried by other men. But you know what's interesting is Paul says to not be desirous of vainglory. You know what that tells me? That tells me then that there must be a glory that's not vainglory, right? If he didn't say, don't be desirous of glory, but rather he said, don't be desirous of vainglory, then there must be a glory that's not vainglory. You say, well, Brother Nathan, what's that glory then that's not vain? Well, I believe that that is the glory that we are to have in the Lord. That is the boasting and the bragging that we should have when it comes to the things of the Lord. If we're going to brag about anything in our life, if we're going to boast about anything in our life, we need to be bragging and boasting and glorying about the Lord, dear friends. That's what Paul said. He said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's only one thing to glory in this morning, and that's how great of a God you serve today. Not only that, but we find in another place in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, he says there in that place, to whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. So we see some things coming about now. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 31, he said, if you're going to glory, glory in the Lord. And then it's easy to remember because instead of 1 Corinthians 1:31, it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. So things are coming about now. We're seeing that it's a commandment to glory only in the Lord. And it's also something that we're to be concerned about. Whatever you do, whatsoever you do. Dear friends, that's a very convicting thought, isn't it? How are you doing on that this morning? I'm not doing very well in that. I look at my own life, I look at my own actions, and I wonder, how have I gloried the Lord in that? But it ought to be something that we're very concerned about. What we're thinking right now, how is that glorying the Lord? What you say in 30 minutes from now, how is that going to glorify God? How is that going to boast of the Lord? How I treat people in my life needs to be centered around glorying God. Not just others that I run across in my career outside of the church in the secular realm. How I treat church members. How is that glorying the Lord? How we treat patients. How we treat those, like I said, in the workplace. How we treat our tenants. How we treat our students. Every single thing we do is to be done to the glory of God. That's a very convicting thought, isn't it? I'm convicted, as I said, in that. But that's what Paul's saying that we need to be concerned about. To not only glory, if you're going to brag, if you're going to boast, if you're going to do anything of that sort, it's only to be about the Lord. But also to keep in mind, every single thing you do should also be to the praise of God. But I find it interesting that Paul said that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But yet, on several occasions, we find where the Apostle Paul glorified or gloried, excuse me, or boasted or bragged about certain things. Remember I said this was Paul's glory. It's the title of the message. So he said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But yet on several occasions, he glorified in specific things. I want to say this morning that in understanding how Paul boasted and bragged about certain things, that didn't take glory away from God, but rather that ultimately gave God more praise in his act of boasting about those things. And so you ask the question then, well, Brother Nathan, what in the world did the Apostle Paul brag about? What was he boasting in? What was he glorying in? Well, we'll turn first this morning to Galatians chapter 6, and we find there in verse 14 what the Apostle Paul gloried in. Galatians chapter 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He says, I don't want to glory in anything, notice this again, except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Apostle Paul says that, he's not talking about the literal cross. He's not talking about the two pieces of wood that were fashioned together. That's not what the Apostle Paul was glorying in. The cross, dear friends, was a thing of shame. It was a thing of humiliation. And this time that the Apostle Paul lived, it was even something that you wouldn't even mention or talk about. It was kind of a taboo subject, if you will, to talk, especially in mixed company, about a cross. It was a very shameful and a very humiliating thing. It was a place of unimaginable suffering. It was a means of putting men to death through suffocation, that it would take a very prolonged time for them to die. And in the means of being suffocated, they would be hanging there on the cross, exposed to the elements of the world, to the heat and to the cold and to the sun and to the wind, and starving and thirsting upon the cross. It was a very shameful, as I said, and humiliating thing. It was something that the Apostle Paul, I don't believe, would have gloried in. In fact, in Galatians, he said, cursed is the man that hangs upon a tree. Again, the cross was something that was not thought well of, especially in this time. You can find, too, in the writings of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 2, where it talks about Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There was a shame associated with the cross. And so, when the Apostle Paul says that I want to glory only in the cross, he's not, again, talking about the literal cross. He's talking about what the cross represented. He's talking about the person of the cross. He's talking about the purpose of the cross and the power of the cross. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted to boast in. And dear friends, that's what we need to boast in this morning, is in the person and in the purpose and in the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember this morning, recognize and understand what the cross represented. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, hanging upon that tree. God, certainly as the Father, gloried in God the Son. He was very delighted in His Son. You can't even begin to express the love that God the Father had for God the Son. And He rained down glory upon His Son. So think about that this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one in whom God the Father delighted in and gloried in, was the person of the cross. He wasn't just some common thief. He wasn't even an infamous criminal. It wasn't like they had put Barabbas on the cross. They hadn't put Judas Iscariot upon there. It was Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God. Boast this morning, dear friends, in His perfections. Boast this morning in the love that He had to go to the cross for you, to be reviled and to be mocked, to be spat upon, to be beaten and scourged. Oh, dear friends, think about the sufferings that He went through, how He hung there in a naked state, being in a place of shame and public humiliation, having done no wrong. Oh, we need to be boasting in the person of the cross, the spotless Lamb of God, His perfections, the love that He had towards us that held Him to that tree. But we need to boast not only in the person of the cross, but why the person went to the cross and the purpose of the cross. We need to boast in that. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul had under consideration. Recall in your mind this morning that the cross was a time where man did his absolute worst towards God. And yet, man doing his absolute worst towards God, God simultaneously did his best towards man. Keep that in your mind. Boast in that. Glory in that this morning. The purpose of the cross was that God would be put to death so that salvation would be afforded to man. That was the purpose of the cross. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 that Jesus bore our sins in His own body upon the tree. That was again the purpose of the cross, that this man, the very Son of God, would bear our sins and afford to us salvation. It was to be a one-time sacrifice, wasn't it? So that there would be no more sacrifices needed. There would be no more atonements needed. But rather, the wrath of God and the justice of God would be satisfied, having been meted out upon His Son that hung upon the tree. Again, it was to be a time when that matter was to be satisfied and finished, and nothing for us to do here in this life for our eternal salvation. That was the purpose of the cross, that salvation in that one event would be accomplished. I'd love to sing that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Have you ever noticed the words to that? Have you ever sat and closed your eyes when there's a congregation singing those words? I mean, how it ought to just cause your heart to leap with joy when you get to that phrase that says, "My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul." Oh, that's what the cross was about. That it wouldn't just somehow get you further down the road towards salvation, but that it actually was your salvation. Boast in that this morning. Have the resolve and the resolution that the hymn writer did when he said, "My sin not in part, but the whole's nailed to His cross." How's the verse go in the chorus? "It is well with my soul." Doesn't matter what may come in your life. It doesn't matter what struggles and tribulations and infirmities you might have in your life. Have that resolve that because Jesus Christ paid my debt, it is well with my soul. That was the purpose of the cross. And I'm telling you, dear friends, because that great purpose of the cross was accomplished, there's great power in the cross, isn't there? There's great power in the cross. And certainly that's what the Apostle Paul was boasting in, was the finished work of Jesus Christ. He said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, that by the blood of His cross He made peace with God. We find He also says in Colossians chapter 2 and 14, that the ordinances that were against us are blotted out, having been nailed to the cross. You know what that means? That means the law of God that condemned you no longer condemns you today. Those ordinances that you had sinned against, that law of God that you had gone against, it's without effect. It's been nailed to His cross. You've been justified freely by the grace of God and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be boasting in this morning, and the power of the cross as well. I tell you, that's a story I'll never get tired of telling. That's a story I love to tell. Even as a hymn writer said, I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. That's what we need to be boasting in this morning. But I'm telling you, there's power in the cross, not only in the sense that it took away our sins and made us whole and righteous in the sight of God, but the cross also gave us the power to live godly here, didn't it? The Apostle Paul says, and again, Galatians 6 and 14, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me." You know what the Apostle Paul is there saying? He's saying, this world doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I don't have to live after the things of this world. I now have the power, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, to live holy and soberly here. Not perfectly. We strive for perfection, don't we? But the Apostle Paul is saying, this world, all of the characteristics of this world, all the treasures of this world, all the honors that this world can bestow upon me, they mean nothing to me. This world is nothing but a felon that's hung upon a tree. That's how the Apostle Paul viewed the world. It was something that he thought ought to be ashamed of itself, humiliated with itself, something he didn't want to have any part of or be associated with. There was no glamour any longer in this world for the Apostle Paul. And again, he was feeling free in the sense that he was not enslaved to the things of this world. So there's great power in the fact that we now, through the work of Jesus Christ, can live wholly here in this life. But he goes on to say in verse 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And I unto the world. Because of the cross, Paul was hated by the world. The world was crucified unto him, meaning he didn't care anything about this world. But on top of that, he was crucified to the world. The world hated the Apostle Paul. He suffered many tribulations and infirmities because of the hatred that the world had towards him. You say, Brother Nathan, that must have been terrible for the Apostle Paul to have such tribulations and infirmities here in this life. Well, I want you to know this morning that not only did the Apostle Paul glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, the person and the purpose and the power of the cross, but he also gloried in his tribulations and his infirmities, didn't he? If you turn over to Romans chapter 5 this morning, you'll see in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in tribulations also. The Apostle Paul was once a man of great reputation. He was a man that had everything among the world of the Jews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a champion of the Pharisees, if you want to know what that means. That means he was at the pinnacle of those that were trying to justify themselves through their own righteousness. And he was a champion for the cause of getting rid of the name and the reputation of Jesus of Nazareth. He was going forth killing Christians, as we've mentioned in the past. But that was only building up his reputation among the Jewish people, making him more important to them. I can't imagine the fame that the Apostle Paul had when he would go into a room, perhaps. I can almost see it in my mind, where they were probably cheering and thinking that this was really an honor that Paul would visit with them. He was one of great reputation. But now, having been converted by the Lord, having had the Damascus Road experience, he now was crucified by the world. That is, he was called a fool many times over. His motives were misrepresented. They thought he's out to just get something for himself. This conversion that he's saying he's experienced and the preaching that he now is going about doing is just something that will get him something in this life. They were saying, he's just out for himself. He was shunned by those that had once thought so highly of him. They would point fingers at him in the public streets. Oh, he was again mocked and reviled. His life was physically sought after, wasn't it? He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was stoned. He was put on rat-infested ships and taken all across this world. Not only that, but we find too where he would be put into the inner parts of dungeons, where there would be just no hope of seeing daylight for who knows how long. And on top of that, you had the experience perhaps of the stench of death and so forth that must have been all around him at this time. And so that's what the Apostle Paul, I believe, has in mind here in Romans 5. All of those things I mentioned, the meager means by which he was living, having no food for periods of time, all of that, he was saying, those tribulations, how the world has crucified me, I'm boasting in those today. Dear friends, let me say this morning that just as the Apostle Paul boasted in his tribulations and his infirmities, we too should boast in ours. We too should glory in our tribulations and our infirmities. You say, Brother Nathan, I can't stand them. There's just too many. There's too many various sorts. I just can't stand them. I hate my tribulations and my infirmities. And certainly there are a various array of tribulations and infirmities that can come upon us in this life. There seems like there's trouble on every hand, doesn't there? But yet we need to come to a point where we can glory in those. And we're not glorying in the tribulations themselves, saying, oh, it's just so great that I'm having to go through this. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But when the Apostle Paul gloried and boasted and bragged in his tribulations, it was to the extent that he knew he was suffering for the sake of Christ. That's what made the difference for the Apostle Paul. All those things that he endured was because of Christ. He was bearing those things for Christ's sake. Not in the sense that then he could look back and say, look at all the things I've suffered for Christ. But the Apostle Paul felt himself to be unworthy. He didn't even feel himself to be worthy to name the name Christ. But yet he counted it a glory to himself that he might be able to suffer for the one that he wasn't even worthy to name the name of. That's what the Apostle Paul has in mind here. He's glorying because he knows it's for Christ's sake. The tribulations he's going through are for his sake. Or perhaps with infirmities too. We look at that and you say, Brother Nathan, how can we glory in the infirmities and the sicknesses that we've had along life's way? Well, I look back at some of the experiences I've had. I look back on conversations I've had with people who have suffered great infirmities in life. And you know what they usually tell me? They usually tell me about how wonderful God is in having brought them to this side. It's a testimony to the grace of God, isn't it? How many times in your life have you been in a situation where you've had infirmities and you just say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. There's just no way. This is going to ruin my life. Life is over as I know it. Well, then some short time later you come out on the other side. Is that a testimony to your strength and your resolve? No, dear friends, I say that's a testimony to the grace of God that has brought you this far in life. That's why the Apostle Paul was glorying here. He again wasn't happy about having to endure these things. He was glad that he could endure them for Christ's sake. But more than that, he saw his life as a testimony for the grace of God. And that's how we should feel about our sufferings. Here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Well, yes, in verse 3 he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Here's another reason to glory. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. The Apostle Paul could look back at his sufferings and his tribulations, infirmities. And he said, I'm going to glory in them because I know not only are they a testimony to the grace of God, but when I come out on the other side, I'm going to be a stronger person in the Lord. I'm going to have more fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to be drawn closer to Him throughout these sufferings. That's again why he was boasting and glorying in these things. I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. You know, some have the idea about their sufferings and their tribulations, and they say that all things are working together for their good. I want you to understand this morning that that's not how the Apostle Paul felt. He didn't think that all these things certainly were working together for his good. That in Romans we know is talking about the all things in context, don't we? We know what that's talking about. But I believe this morning, I have struggled with this idea for years. And I believe the Lord's finally given me peace to say as the Apostle Paul did, that it's okay to glory and see the good that we have in suffering and tribulations. Not because they most certainly will work together for our good, but because it's very possible that they will. It's very possible that because of our sufferings and our tribulations, we will come out on the other side with patience, experience, and hope, having been drawn closer to the Lord. Do you see the difference this morning? It's not all things absolutely work together for your good. I'm not saying that. But sometimes the things that we go through in this life, they do have the possibility to bless us. They do have the possibility to make us stronger in the Lord. Not all things certainly will, but all things probably can work together for our good, depending on our responses to them. I think that's what the Apostle Paul has in mind here. But he says, I'm going to glory in my tribulations and in my infirmities. You say again, Brother Nathan, how can my struggle glorify God? You said that the Apostle Paul's boasting wasn't taking anything from the glory of God. How can my boasting and my sufferings glorify God more? It's again because we can look back at those times and say, the Lord has blessed me. He's brought me this far, and I've been drawn closer and made a stronger person in Him. So the Apostle Paul thought it only appropriate to glory in that. But he gloried in something else, and I'll mention this in closing this morning. He gloried in the saints of God. He gloried in the saints of God. If you turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning, you'll see in verse 20, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 20, for ye are our glory and joy. You are our glory and joy. You say, Brother Nathan, how can we boast in man? How can we brag about man? You've already said that. We shouldn't brag in self, but rather only glory in the Lord. How can we boast in man? I think the Apostle Paul here is boasting in the sense that he recognized the great blessing that the Thessalonians have been to him. I think that's what he is, again, boasting in, saying, you all are a great blessing to me. If you look to several things that he wrote to them in this epistle, you'll see in verse 6 of chapter 1, and ye became followers of us. That's one thing that he's talking about, saying, you are my glory. He's talking about these things that they've done. You've become followers of us, and that you have received the word in much affliction. That is, that they were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And verse 8, he says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They'd been people who not only had received the word of the Lord and become followers and willing to suffer for it, but they were ones that were concerned about spreading the word of the Lord, weren't they? Not only that, but in verse 9 it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now notice how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. This was something else they did. Having been caught up in idolatry, they said, we don't want any part of that anymore. We want to follow the true and living God. Verse 10 says, they were going to wait for his son from heaven, that is patiently waiting and serving him here in this life. Chapter 2 and verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. They had treated the Apostle Paul and the other laboring ministers as people that were very important to them. Those that held a special place in their heart. Verse 13, I'll mention this just in last case. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So he's saying, here's all these things that you've done, and because of all these things, I'm now glorying and you, the saints of God. You know what all this means? It means that they had a positive response to the gospel message. They had a positive response to the apostles' preaching. And any time there's a positive response to the gospel preaching, true gospel preaching, then there is only more glory given to God, isn't there? Anytime there's a proper and a positive response, God is being gloried more and more. And so Paul knew how he had been blessed in these people. He knew how they had been blessed. He felt them as a blessing. And he didn't give himself the credit, did he? I don't believe the Apostle Paul gave himself any credit in any of this, nor did he give them credit for their positive response. Notice chapter 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you. He's giving the glory to God. He's saying, you've had this positive response. And why have you had this positive response? Because God is blessed. And I'm thanking God that He has met with you and dealt with you accordingly. And so I ask myself the question, perhaps you can ask yourself the same question this morning, are we doing what we need to be doing so that we can be boasted of and gloried of? As the Apostle Paul said, for you are our glory. Are we having a positive response to the gospel preaching? Not to boast in ourselves, but so others can look at us and they can boast in the Lord because of us. They can say there's something special here about these people. The Lord has blessed these people. Thank you, God, for these people. That's how the Apostle Paul, I believe, is boasting in the fellow saints and disciples of the Lord. I believe that we can boast in that as well. Again, making sure that we're not taking from the credit of God, but rather we're thanking Him for the blessing that the other disciples and saints of God are to us along life's way. But of course, in order for one to say that we're their glory, as I said, I think we have to do things, even perhaps as mentioned here by the Apostle Paul, having that positive response to the gospel preaching. We, in and of ourselves, can't boast. We shouldn't boast, can we? We shouldn't. Again, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The only thing we should be boasting in is God. And everything we need to be doing, or everything we do in this life, is for the glory of God. If we're going to boast in anything, it's God and the cross of Jesus Christ, isn't it? And the power of that cross. And our tribulations and our infirmities, seeing how the Lord has led us thus far and blessed us and brought us out on the other side. And saying, thank you, Lord, for these fellow laborers in Christ that have meant so much to me along life's way. I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was glorying in, knowing that he wasn't taking anything from God, but rather he was returning all the glory to him, saying again, thank you, Lord, for these many blessings. Let's stand and sing a hymn this morning. How about number 193?